We have hopes now of news in the near future. August 23rd. Saw the land in the vicinity of Cape North. To the south-southwest, the white cliffs and peaks of the inland ranges were very distinct, and away in the distance to the southwest could be seen a low stretch of undulating land. At times Mount Sabine was visible through the gloom. The latitude is 69 degrees 44 and a half minutes south. We are 58 miles north, 40 miles east of Cape North. August 24th. We lifted the rudder out of the ice and placed it clear of the stern, athwart the fore and aft line of the ship. We had quite a job with it, weight 4.5 tons, using treble and double-sheaved blocks purchase, but with the endless chain tackle from the engine room and plenty of beef and leverage, we dragged it clear. All the pintles are gone at the forepart of the rudder. It is a clean break and bears witness to the terrific force exerted on the ship during the nip. I am glad to see the rudder upon the ice and clear of the propeller. The blade itself, which is solid oak and sheathed on two sides and after part halfway down with 3/4-inch iron plating, is undamaged, save for the broken pintles. The twisted portion is in the rudder trunk. August 25th, 11 p.m. Hook has just been in with the good tidings that he has heard Macquarie and the Bluff, New Zealand, sending their weather reports and exchanging signals. Can this mean that they have heard our recent signals and are trying to get us now? Our motor has been out of order. August 26th. The carpenter has finished the jury rudder and is now at work on the lower end of the rudder trunk, where the rudder burst into the stern timbers. We are lucky in having this opportunity to repair these minor damages, which might prove serious in a seaway. August 31st, 6:30 a.m. Very loud pressure noises to the southeast. I went aloft after breakfast and had the pleasure of seeing many open lanes in all directions. The lanes of yesterday are frozen over, showing what little chance there is of a general and continued break-up of the ice until the temperature rises. Land was visible, but far too distant for even approximate bearings. The berg still hangs to the northwest of the ship. We seem to have pivoted outwards from the land. We cannot get out of this too quickly, and although everyone has plenty of work and is cheerful, the uselessness of the ship in her present position palled. September 5th. The mizzen wireless mast came down in a raging blizzard today. In the forenoon, I managed to crawl to windward on the top of the bridge house, and under the lee of the chart house watched the mast bending over with the wind and swaying like the branch of a tree. But after the aerial had stood throughout the winter, I hardly thought the masts would carry away. Luckily, as it is dangerous to life to be on deck in this weather, food is brought from the galley in relays through blinding drift and over big heaps of snow. No one was about when the mast carried away. September 8th. This is dull, miserable weather. Blow, snow, and calm for an hour or two. Sometimes it blows in this neighbourhood without snow and sometimes with. This seems to be the only difference. I have two patients now, Larkman and Mugridge. Larkman was frostbitten on the great and second toes of the left foot some time ago and has so far taken little notice of them. Now they are causing him some alarm as gangrene has set in. Mugridge is suffering from an intermittent rash with red inflamed skin and large short-lived blisters. I don't know what the deuce it is, but the nearest description to it in a materia medica, etc., is pemphigus. So pemphigus it is, and he has been tonicked and massaged. September 9th. This is the first day for a long time that we have registered a minimum temperature above zero for the 24 hours. It is pleasant to think that from noon to noon throughout the night the temperature never fell below plus 4 degrees, 28 degrees of frost, and with the increase of daylight it makes one feel that summer really is approaching. September 13th. All around the northern horizon there is the appearance of an open water sky, but around the ship the prospect is dreary. The sun rose at 6:20 a.m. and set at 5:25 p.m. Ship's time, 11 hours, 5 minutes of sunlight and 17 hours light. 3 hours twilight, morning and evening. The carpenter is dismantling the taffrail to facilitate the landing and, if necessary, the boarding of the jury rudder, and will construct a temporary removable rail. September 16th. There has been much mirage all around the horizon, and to the eastward through south to southwest, heavy frost smoke has been rising. Over the northern horizon, a low bank of white fog hangs as though over the sea. I do not like these continued low temperatures. I am beginning to have doubts as to our release until the sun starts to rot the ice. September 17th. This is the anniversary of our departure from London. There are only 4 of the original 11 on board. Larkman, Ninnis, Morger, and I. Much has happened since Friday, September 18th, 1914, and I can recall the scene as we passed down the Thames with submarines and cruisers in commission and bent on business, crossing our course. I can also remember the regret at leaving it all and the consequent fed-upness. September 21st. The sun is making rapid progress south, and we have had today over 17 hours light and 12 hours sunlight. Oh, for a release! The monotony and worry of our helpless position is deadly. I suppose Shackleton and his party will have started depot laying now and will be full of hopes for the future. I wonder whether the Endurance wintered in the ice or went north. I cannot help thinking that if she wintered in the Weddell Sea, she will be worse off than the Aurora. What a lot we have to look for in the next 6 months. News of Shackleton and the Endurance, the party at Cape Evans, and the war. September 22nd. Latitude 69 degrees 12 minutes south, longitude 165 degrees 0 minutes east. Sturge Island, Baleni Group, is bearing north, true 90 miles distant. Light northwest airs with clear, fine weather. Sighted Sturge Island in the morning, bearing due north of us and appearing like a faint low shadow on the horizon. It is good to get a good landmark for fixing positions again, and it is good to see that we are making northerly progress, however small. Since breaking away from Cape Evans, we have drifted roughly 705 miles around islands and past formidable obstacles, a wonderful drift. It is good to think that it has not been in vain, and that the knowledge of the set and drift of the pack will be a valuable addition to the sum of human knowledge. The distance from Cape Evans to our present position is 705 miles, geographical. September 27th. The temperature in my room last night was around about zero. Rather chilly, but warm enough under the blankets. Hook has dismantled his wireless gear. He feels rather sick about not getting communication, although he does not show it. September 30th. Ninnis has been busy now for the past week on the construction of a new tractor. He is building the body and will assemble the motor in the 4 tween decks, where it can be lashed securely when we are released from the ice. I can see leads of open water from the masthead, but we are still held firmly. How long? October 7th. As time wears on, the possibility of getting back to the barrier to land a party deserves consideration. If we do not get clear until late in the season, we will have to turn south first, although we have no anchors and little moorings, no rudder, and a short supply of coal. To leave a party on the barrier would make us very short-handed. Still, it can be done, and anything is preferable to the delay in assisting to the people at Cape Evans. At 5 a.m., a beautiful parhelion formed around the sun. The sight so impressed the boatswain that he roused me out to see it. During the month of October, the Aurora drifted uneventfully. Stenhouse mentions that there was often an appearance of open water on the northern and eastern horizon. But anxious eyes were strained in vain for indications that the day of the ship's release was near at hand. Hook had the wireless plant running again and was trying daily to get in touch with Macquarie Island, now about 850 miles distant. The request for a relief ship was to be renewed if communication could be established, for by this time, if all had gone well with the Endurance, the overland party from the Weddell Sea would have been starting. There was considerable movement of the ice towards the end of the month, lanes opening and closing, but the floe, some acres in area into which the Aurora was frozen, remained firm until the early days of November. The cracks appeared close to the ship, due apparently to heavy drift causing the floe to sink. The temperatures were higher now, under the influence of the sun, and the ice was softer. Thawing was causing discomfort in the quarters aboard. The position on November 12th was reckoned to be latitude 66 degrees 49 minutes south, longitude 155 degrees 17 minutes 45 seconds east. Stenhouse made a sounding on November 17th in latitude 66 degrees 40 minutes south, longitude 154 degrees 45 minutes east, and found bottom at 194 fathoms. The bottom sample was mud and a few small stones. The sounding line showed a fairly strong undercurrent to the northwest. We panned out some of the mud, says Stenhouse, and in the remaining grit found several specks of gold.